You have your Bibles tonight. I'm going to be capping out on one verse in Psalm 18. Psalm 18. It's a longer psalm, I think 50 verses maybe, something like that. But it's David basically rejoicing in the deliverance that God brought to him time and time again, as he was pursued by his enemies, and particularly a man who had been a father figure in his life for some time, but who was jealous of David. He was also king of Israel at that time. King Saul sought to take David's life, and time again, the Lord delivered David from the hand of his enemies and also from the hand of Saul. So David was quite happy about that. And so if you read this psalm in its entirety, it's a good psalm to read when you feel like you're just being hunted down, when you feel like that the enemy's trying to corner you and take you out. It's a psalm of deliverance. But when we get to verse 30, that's the one I want to feature tonight. David says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him." So I'm going to title tonight's teaching, "The Proven Word." The proven word, and I'm going to talk about, make three observations out of this verse and talk about some of the words that are used here, just to encourage us that, like David discovered time and time again, God's word works. Responding to what's happening to us in God's way works. And when crunch time comes, the Lord will come. Also, He will come through for us. And we'll see that from this verse. And again, it's surrounded by other verses that say the same thing in different ways time and time again. I would encourage you to read that psalm in the next day or so. And just with that in mind. So let's just kind of break this down. He says, "As for God," in contrast to what he'd been going through from the enemies, he says, "As for God, His way is perfect." So first, let's talk about the perfect way. The perfect way. Now, the word way here is a Hebrew word, derek, and it means way or road, journey, distance, manner, or even mission in the sense of being sent on an assignment. And it's David simply stating that, you know, when we're in tough circumstances in our life, there are usually be an option of things that we can do, a way that we can respond, a way that we can choose to address it. And he's reminding us now that God's way is the perfect way. This word "perfect" is the Hebrew word tamim, and it means complete or sound, blameless, unblemished, or without defect. Now, how many of you realize that the way God may lead you to do things at times may seem foolish to the world? It may not make good sense to the people who say that they love you and they care about you. It may fly in the face of advice that well-meaning friends may give you. Isaiah 55 tells us that God's ways is higher than our ways. His viewpoint is much higher than our viewpoint. He's able to see further. He's able to see more clearly. He's able to see more completely than we are. So when we lean into Him, rely upon His Word, led by His Spirit, in other words, respond to what life is bringing to our doorstep. When we respond in God's way, when the dust settles and it's all said and done, then we'll realize, wow, I'm glad I didn't lean to my own understanding. And Proverbs 3 reminds us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. You know, some days we just think we're a lot smarter than we really are. Right? I mean, sometimes it's just so obvious. How could this not be the right thing to do? Well, this is exactly the car I need to buy. Or, oh, this is exactly what I thought. Or, this is exactly the person I need to marry. And just leaned our own understanding. But remember, God knows what you don't know. God sees what you cannot see. And He's more than willing to let you in on what He knows that you do not know. What an offer. But on those days when we've got a big case of the smarts and we think we can just do rather well without any intervention from on high, we'll end up getting ourselves in trouble. The Bible says, and you can finish this one with me, Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems, what? Right, to who? Unto a man. But guess what? The end thereof are the ways of death. Isn't that something? Sometimes that seems right. And yet, that's from man's perspective. But yet, God says, that way that seems right actually is the path to death. So, that'll put a little stiffener in you, slow you down, and sober you up. But isn't that true? And particularly in today's world. And I mentioned this previously. We have so much more access to other people's points of view and other people's opinions than we've ever had in human history. I mean, pop out your phone and type in a word and get several million queries basically saying, you can click here and get information about this. And you can get it from the basement to the penthouse of human opinions. It's just right there. And most of that is from someone, you don't know who they are, you don't know what they believe, but yet we often will rely upon that information. It's amazing how much faith we can put into the invisible world of the people we can't see, but who visit our homes through the internet. And yet, we have a reliable, very reliable source of information, counsel, and wisdom through the Scripture that we also can access. The author of that information, as a believer, actually lives resident inside of us. And he knows a lot more than Google. And he won't fool you. Google will fool you, but he won't fool you. Google will lead you to the wrong doorstep. He will not. And yet, we can be doubters of what he is saying to us through Scripture. And so, it's amazing how eloquent, secularly insightful, naturalistically informative some teachings are that you can read and study that will undermine your faith in what God's Word says. It may seem good. It may sound good. And as you're hearing it, you know what you're hearing is exactly opposite from what the Scripture says. But yet there can be an influence on and a persuasion on it. The world thinks very little of calling you a fool for believing in God. Calling you a fool for relying upon information in an antiquated book, from their estimation. But yet God's ways are higher than our ways. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are death. And David, David was a warrior. Now, David was a man of blood. But when he came to touching King Saul, hands off. He did it God's way. He said, I will not touch God's anointed. Even though the man was trying to kill him. He had dodged the spear of Saul in Saul's own house. He had to hide out in caves and run through hills and valleys to escape the armies of Saul that pursued him. And yet, on more than one occasion, he was within arm's length and could have taken Saul out and ended his problem, but he dared not do it. As a matter of fact, one time when Saul was in a cave and he went off to himself because he, pretty much the indication is he was using the bathroom. And David slipped up behind him and took his knife and cut off the corner of his garment. Then when Saul concluded his business and went back out, David came out and held that up and said, I could have killed you and I didn't. And the Bible says David's conscience was smitten because he had cut that fabric off of Saul, even though Saul was trying to kill him. But he chose to do it God's way. And so when he says, our God, his way is perfect. He was a man who at times chose to do it God's way and realized that God then exalted him, promoted him, and put him in a situation he could have never achieved by human effort. He could have never gotten there man's way. It was the hand of God and the hand of God alone that got him there. And I just encourage you, it's not always the most intelligent person that gets the job. It's not always the natural features that are going to open the door for you, your socioeconomic status and all that. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. When you make the choice, you know, I'm just going to do this God's way. I know it may not make a lot of sense. It seems like this way may be shorter, this way may be faster. But this is what the way God says I need to approach this. So I'm going to do it His way. You will never regret having done it God's way. But most of us could do a feature film on the pain created by not doing things God's way. David said, His way is perfect. It's sound. It's unblemished. It's without defect. And when I saw this word had the idea, the connotation of unblemished, God's way is unblemished, the scripture popped in my mind where Paul talked about how Jesus cleanses his bride with the washing of the water of the word. Why? So he could have an unblemished bride. And when we do things God's way, It's part of His preparation in our life to prepare us and to trust us with more and to promote us. So, I like that. Now, let's move on. He says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. So, we've talked about the perfect way. Now, let's talk about the proven word. He says, the word of the Lord. The word Lord there, if you'll notice that, I'm reading in the New King James Version, it's all caps. That means that's the divine name, Yahweh. The Jehovah, Yahweh, YHWH, for Yahweh. And it's the divine name, the God who continues to be who He's always been, the unchangeable God. And David says, His word is proven. Now, the word here is literally a word that means commandment or utterance or speech. It's the idea of what God vocalizes, what He commands, what He utters out His mouth. It's perfect. And, proven, excuse me. That word proven is a word that is sarath, and it means to smelt or refine or to test. It's the idea of like a refiner who would refine silver or gold. There's a sense in which we could say then, the word, God's word, it's been put to the fire and it's passed the test. It's pure. It's holy. It too is unblemished. There's no defect. All impurity has gone out of it. It is proven. It stood the test of time. And there's several scriptures that speaks of the idea of refining. Psalm 12 verse 6 earlier, the psalmist said, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. Proverbs 17:3, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. So it's that idea, his word is proven. This is an ounce of silver. This is a silver dollar. It's American Eagle, silver. It's pure silver. Well, I say pure. It's 99.99% pure silver. And that is, today's spot price on silver, I think, was $26 and some few cents, which is about $10 more than it was this time a year ago. But this has gone through a process of being purified. Notice how shiny it is. I wish I could just pass one out to everybody tonight, but I can't, so. But this went through a process, and even in biblical times, they learned the process. A lot of times, there's some silver that the veins are kind of pure, but for the most part, it's mingled in with like lead or certain kinds of ore, and then it'll have to be heated up to, I think it's like 1600, 1700, 1800 degrees. And they break it down. It begins to separate. And you've probably heard the teaching how the refiner will then take the dross off the top. And when it arrives where it's supposed to, I've heard preachers talk about how, you know, they could look down in it and then see their face, see their image. It's like a mirror. But I really, in my research on that process, an expert on it, somebody had done a lot of study and said, actually, you can't see your face in it because it actually emits a light. It's more like looking at a light instead of seeing your face. It's kind of like this, so bright. And so this scripture says the word of the Lord is proven. It's pure. It's unblemished. It's been put to the test. It's been tried by fire. Purified seven times, it speaks here. And the process, as I researched it, said that they usually would take it through a process multiple times till they got it very, very pure. So it's quite amazing. And that word that has gone through that, what's interesting, that very word will then do that in us. It does that in us. It can purge us, purify us. It puts us to the test. Said of Joseph, and the word of the Lord tested him until it came to pass. Sometimes we're going through, isn't it true that when we go through trying times, that's when we really discover God's word works. When you put the word to the test, it's usually when you need to put the word to the test is when you're being put to the test. When Jesus was tempted, he used the word. The word's tested. It's proven. It's powerful. And so in his temptation, he used what was already proven, and it proved fruitful and faithful and powerful for him. And it works for us too. If you want to really invest in your life, invest the word into your life. Because it's proven. And when you get full of this, then whatever you're facing, when you're in the fire, then this has already been put to the fire. It's already been tested by fire. So if you're full of this and then you get put in the fire, you'll pass that test too. It's the proven word of the Lord. I remember years ago when the Lord first called me, when I came to Faith Tabernacle, this has been 20 years ago, 21 years ago, and I served for almost a year under Pastor Henry. And I remember during that year, Pastor John Kilpatrick came up and we had a meeting. And of course, he was a pastor at Brownsville Assembly of God where they were in revival. And he came up and I was excited about getting to meet him. And so when he arrived and he came into the pastor's office and I was in there with Pastor Henry and Pastor Kilpatrick came in and I'm the associate pastor and Pastor Kilpatrick comes in and he had Bibles and he had brought in some tapes to you know, CDs. I don't know if it's CDs or tapes, CDs, I think, to give. And so he put those there and I took them and I held them for him. Well, I made a mistake in his estimation. I took his Bible and I took those CDs and I just held in the Bible. I just laid them on top of the Bible and I held them there. And as soon as he saw that, he said, no. He moved those off the top of the Bible. He said, don't ever put something on top of the Bible. There's nothing that can top it. And I mean, I felt whipped. it's like, okay. I said, I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't understand. I almost told him, now wait a minute. The scripture says this word can hold up the universe. As a matter of fact, it's holding. So you can put whatever you want to on it. But I decided it would not be a good time to bring that up. I'd just go with his theology in the moment, you know. But there is something to say about honoring God's word and having a respect for God's word. If you put your faith in it, respect it and reverence it. I'm not talking about bibliolatry. You worship God. And there's a sense in which he and his word are inseparable. But bibliolatry would be like thinking your Bible itself is like a some type of omen or, you know, instead of realizing what makes it powerful is the truth it contains because it's what God has spoken, what God is saying. The word of the Lord is proven, David says. And sometimes you can take your Bible, there's like over 280 verses that mention silver. It's interesting how many times that silver in the refining process is mentioned because when you look at this, you think about the word and receiving the word, we can be purged of impurities, tried by fire. Sometimes it's repeated several times, but it does result in a bright shining forth in our lives. 1 Peter 1:6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we looked at two things. We looked at the perfect way, and we looked at the proven word. Now let's look at the rest of that verse. It says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. And then the last thing, he is a shield to all who trust in him. So in order to stick with my alliteration here, I've talked to you about the perfect way, the proven word. The last one, it would be the protective warrior. Because it talks about our God, he's like a shield that protects us when we put our trust in him. So we want to learn God's ways, we want to know God's word, and we want to rely upon him as the warrior who protects us. Look at that. It says, he is a shield to all who trust in him. This word shield, Magen is the Hebrew word. It means defense. It's also interesting. It's the same word that Job used to describe the scales on an alligator. You've seen an alligator. It's like a, you know, like he's got a shield. It caused me to think about armadillos. I remember one time I was down in South Alabama in a shooting house. For those of you who don't know what that is, for deer hunters, it's a little house that's built up on stilts, and you climb up and get in it, and you try to waylay one of those big bucks when they come out in front of you. Well, I was bow hunting with bow and arrow, and hadn't seen anything much, and it was almost getting time to come out of the shooting house, and here came an armadillo. And if we got any armadillo lovers, I'm going to go ahead and ask you to forgive me right now. But an armadillo came waddling out in the green field that I was watching over. And, of course, they're pests because there's holes, and they dig up the ground, and they just root everything up. Well, I'd been sitting up there a long time, and I decided, well, you know what? I'm going to shoot that armadillo. So I got my compound bow, and I pull back, and I aim. I let that arrow go. And sure enough, my broadhead struck that armadillo, but it just went, bounced off of it like shooting a BB off of a hard concrete sidewalk. It just, why? Because it had that protective shield over it. I didn't harm the armadillo, though I meant him great harm. The Bible says the Lord is our shield. He protects us. He covers up. Now, the context, again, David, when he had gone out to battle against his enemies, he came back alive. The Lord protected him. God had his purpose and destiny for David, and he was able to live out his life and fulfill his purpose in his generation, we're told in the book of Acts. But he says, the Lord is a shield to all who trust in him. And that word trust, literally, and some of you may have translations that translate it this way, it means to seek refuge. He's a shield to those who seek refuge from him. In the Old Testament, the law of Moses commanded that six of the Hebrew cities would be designated as cities of refuge. Now, what does that mean? Well, to make it short and brief, if you took someone's life or something, even if it's accidental, you could run, and if you went into one of these cities of refuge, nobody could come in there and take vengeance out on the life you had taken. Remember Old Testament? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. So that would be a place you could run, and as long as you were inside the city gates of a city of refuge, no one could take your life. But when you came out, you were open game. But that was a provision made. And so people that had done wrong, they knew this is a place I can go and hide and be protected. Didn't that preach? All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus is now our city of refuge. We're all criminals that have broken the law of God. And we deserve, you know, death. But we found Jesus, who is our city of refuge. Well, the idea here is, David says, the Lord is a shield to those who seek refuge in him. Just like a child, when they're afraid, runs into the arms of their daddy or their mama, we need to develop a faith that when we're feeling the pressure, or we're feeling we're about to cave in, or we're needing help, to know the Lord is our refuge. He'll take care of us. When we don't know what to do, he still knows what to do. When we're unable to cope, he's never unable to cope. When we don't have strength, he's always got strength. When we don't have what we need, he always has what we need. And he says he is a refuge to all who trust in him, to all who seek refuge from him. He is a shield, like the scaly skin of an alligator protects the alligator. Our God is a shield to us. And if you think about how many animals and creatures there are in the animal kingdom and the lower kingdoms of life forms, that God made in such a way that they have a protective shield. Every one of them is just a reminder to us. He's that to us. He's that to us. He is a refuge to those. He is a shield to those who seek refuge in Him. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. So in conclusion, every day we should keep in mind, I can do this some other way, or I can do it God's way. Even when it's hard, I've got that choice. We can keep in mind, if I will just cling to God's word and let that guide my life, it's proven. I don't have to doubt whether or not it'll work. It's already proven. And then, when I, whether I'm fearful, have some type of need, the Lord's my shield. There's foes in every life. There's battles to be fought. There's ground to be taken and so forth. But we always need to be reminded the Lord is our shield. And we can find refuge in Him. Kind of like, no matter where you are in the world, it's the idea, if I can just make it home. If I can just make it home. The place that we're the safest, the place that we're the most loved, the place that we'll be most well cared for, is in the hands of the Lord. And we'll never be disappointed when we put our trust in Him. I want you to stand with me.